Welcome, patrons, to our review of Death Proof.
Have you been following us?
You saw my car, I saw your legs. Now look, I ain't stalking y'all, but I didn't say it wasn't a wolf.
He's got charm.
Is there anybody in this place you could vouch for to give me a ride home?
Fair lady, your chariot awaits.
He's got style.
Do I frighten you? Is it my scar?
It's your car.
And he's got a set of wheels.
Is it safe?
Oh, it's better than safe. It's Death Proof.
To die for.
So, Death Proof, released in 2007, starring Kurt Russell, Zoe Bell, Rosario Dawson, Vanessa Felito, Rose McGowan, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Winstead?
Did we have this discussion already once before?
In Scott Pilgrim?
No, I think it was in Die Hard.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
About the Winstead, Winstead.
Yeah, I say Winstead.
Because you you have Weinstein on the brain, you scummy bastard.
Weinstein. Okay, I thought you were going to say something like, because I whine so much.
No, that joke is at your level.
Yeah. Instead, you went for the Harvey Weinstein joke, which
is not a joke.
Much, much higher level.
It's not a joke. You got him on the brain. Knock it off.
Odd thing to say.
Well, this is directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Meaning
they have some history together?
What sort of history? You don't mean sexual, do you?
I didn't say that word at all.
Wow.
This came out of your mouth.
Mm.
What are you talking about?
Interesting.
I'm talking about their movie career.
You felt that way.
What are you trying to...
Why are you laughing about this?
Why are you throwing me under the bus here?
Why are you laughing about this?
What are you doing? Why are you like this?
No, that's it. I'm out. Can't do it. Out.
Go on, mate.
All right, I'm back. I forgive you.
See how easy it is? Anyway, this is the only Tarantino movie that takes place completely in chronological order with no flashbacks. We mentioned last week on Jackie Brown how that's almost... Django Unchained has flashbacks in it, so this is just straight beginning to end.
This is the only one.
Yeah, the only one.
Maybe that's why it's so shit.
Really?
No, not really, not really. Well, maybe, we'll see.
We will see. I mean, we always talk about different casting choices when we can.
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
I mean, Kurt Russell's great.
Isn't he?
He's so good.
And it's great that he went back to that well, did Tarantino, and obviously Kurt Russell, main character in Hateful Eight, so... He's great. He really, thank God he's in this movie.
He's also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as well.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
I know
you haven't seen the trailer, but he pops up in that.
Oh, cool.
Hmm. So considerations for Stuntman Mike, we had Mickey Rourke.
That would work.
Yeah. Ving Rhames. John Jarrett. And your favorite, Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, what?
Just Kevin, why do you keep considering him? Knock it off.
Oh, he's teasing us. Before we get into this movie more, let's talk about how this movie was actually marketed and released. So this was actually a two-parter basically with Planet Terror called Grindhouse.
Yeah, it was released as Grindhouse.
Was it actually released as one film in the cinema?
I think it was. I don't know if it was in actual cinemas, but in terms of fancy pants cinemas,
yeah,
they would have put it as Grindhouse.
Not actual cinemas.
Well, you know, how they have in those... Something like, you know, for us down in Australia, the Astor Theatre, like where they have it's like an old-timey theatre, they would play it like that.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's very
Tarantino to do something, you know, out of the box.
It is. It is. It is very different. Yeah.
Like, as you can see with this film, it's scratched, like, for real. Like, they did that on purpose. There's a lot of weird little edits and cuts in the film that make it look like it's a very, very old film.
Yeah. You are right. So, have you seen Planet Terror?
I have seen Planet Terror.
What do you think of Planet Terror?
I do like Planet Terror.
I mean, I hadn't seen these since they first came out, and I didn't see these at the cinema, which probably says a lot, because I would have been a big Tarantino fan.
I know they got released separately on DVD back in the day.
Did they?
Yeah, I had them both. I have them both.
You have them both, yes. Yeah. I definitely remember liking Planet Terror more.
Okay. See, I don't know. I would have to go back and see Planet Terror now.
Oh, for sure as well. Like, watching this now, I'm not so sure.
Do you prefer brunette Rose McGowan or blonde Rose McGowan?
Anything but shaved.
I think that's the first time you've preferred anything but shaved.
Yeah, Rose McGowan. I mean, I'm not sure I really know her from much at all.
Charmed.
I've never seen an episode of Charmed.
Haven't you?
No.
My wife loves Charmed, so I've seen a lot of episodes of Charmed.
What else is she in? Hey, exactly. So, like, nothing sticks out. So, I prefer blonde.
Just in general?
I mean, she does... I mean, yes. But she does look a bit skanky, though. Maybe brunette. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? So this film does have an average of 7.0 over 244,000 ratings. It is the lowest average film for Tarantino.
No shocks there.
That he wrote and directed, not that he made.
Really? We're still doing this?
Yes, we are.
Petty, petty man.
Quentin Tarantino did admit later in an interview that he believed he overtweaked Death Proof, but he was still proud of it.
Overtweaked?
He overtweaked it. He did too much to it.
In regards to making it look like a grindhouse film?
Yeah, maybe a bit too many of the quick little edits and the fact that like bits of film missing. And
I didn't mind that at all.
I don't know what he's...
I feel like I at least that gives it some identity rather than just being an average film.
I think it's him trying to appease everyone saying this is shit. And he's like, yeah, maybe I overtweaked it a bit.
Gee, I wouldn't pick that from Tarantino at all.
But he still says he's proud of it. So, proud of my work. Well, good on him.
Yeah, of course.
He even said in a 2012 Director's Roundtable by the Hollywood Reporter that Death Proof has got to be the worst movie I ever did. It's important to note that he was saying it has to be the worst movie I make. Not saying that it was a bad movie, just that it's the worst of his filmography.
Yeah, but still in the top 10 films of all time.
According to him, yeah. And this was Quentin Tarantino's first film since Reservoir Dogs to not get any nominations for any major award. Does it show?
I mean, does it show? It's just, it's a very, very different movie. It's, I mean, it stands alone when you look at his filmography.
Yeah. Well, why don't we find out if it's our worst Tarantino film, Dean?
Let's.
All right, Dean, something I noticed straight away.
Was the cartoon opening?
Was the our feature presentation thing that pops up. And I saw that. I think this was a Tarantino trademark in the 2000s. It definitely came up in Kill Bill 1 and 2. And yeah, I can't remember if this was in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll find it eventually. The cartoon.
I realize now that it's some logo, but I genuinely thought this was part of part of the film here. I was very concerned.
So what is this?
What's going on here?
Tarantino has definitely clawed through all the back footage of old Grindhouse, even like restricted classifications and that to make it look really, really authentic. Yeah. But we get some feet.
Oh, of course we do. I reckon this is some of the most feety films.
This is one of the footiest feety films.
It really is. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds weird. Obviously, feet are in most films, but man, he just focuses on them so much in this film.
I think he even wanted to play the role of stuntman Mike when he was going to lick Rosario Dawson's. That's actually not true. That was my own trivia there. I'd imagine what would have happened.
Your own trivia. So, hey, you would like?
Can we shoot this scene from behind so
are
I
you
can
a,
be? Can
are
I,
you a
I can come in.
Man,
he was stuntman Mike stuntman for that scene.
I mean, that's not bad. It's not a bad joke from you, Hendo. I was just so busy thinking about feet.
And I will put my feet under the desk now.
Yeah, along with everything else, please.
Did you see the original title quickly pop up before it cuts to this black and white Death Proof thing that covers the screen?
I don't think so. What was it?
Thunderbolt, which was the original name for the film.
Death Proof is much better.
Yes.
It's a cool name.
But did you notice how it came into, you know, Quentin Tarantino's and it comes up Thunderbolt and it's like a nice comic looking, you know, logo, but you get it for less than a second and then in cuts this like black background and just like Times Roman font, Death Proof. And then it goes back to the movie. You didn't see that?
I mean, I saw it, yeah. And I didn't notice the Thunderbolt that you're mentioning, but yeah, I obviously saw the opening card of Death Proof.
So one thing Death Proof has is a lot of long conversations.
Way too long. And it's hard. It's so hard because a lot of the things that I'm sort of like, yeah, Tarantino, he's such a great writer. The conversations are so real to life. They're here. They're a lot in this movie. I don't know what it is about these particular conversations, though. Maybe because it's a group of women, and I'm not sure he writes women as well as he does men.
Have you seen Kill Bill?
Oh, Kill Bill's fantastic, but...
See, this is probably what he did with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's like, man, this dialogue, it's just not working for these women. I'm just going to remove all this dialogue from Margot Robbie.
I don't know. Like, this opening four-way chat between these girls... I didn't like it.
See, I didn't mind this group of girls and their conversations. It's when we get to the next group, especially in the diner with that massive, like, 9-minute long discussion. that is the weakest point of the film for me. Like, any of those discussions they had, I was drifting out at that point. But for this first half, because this is very much a two-parter of a movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind the conversation that these girls were having in the car right now.
I don't know. I didn't like these characters. I mean, I think that's probably the worst thing about this film. I did not like these characters. The only
like
characters,
any of them?
I mean, I didn't hate them. I didn't think of them as like cool Tarantino characters. Like, I think of this movie, like Stuntman Mike stands out so hard.
Of course.
But I didn't get, yeah, I wasn't on board with any of them. I kind of like Butterfly. She would be my pick of the girls.
No, I would say Zoe Bell would be definitely the one that stands out. But in this half, yes. Yeah, okay, yeah, Butterfly for sure.
Yeah. Not a Jungle Julia fan?
No.
No, no. It's just not, I don't know, this dialogue just isn't, it's not edgy. It's not overly, like, observational where you hear it and you're like, oh, yeah, that's so right. Like,
there's the little conversation there about using the word fucking to show annoyance. It's like, don't say that word like that. I find that, no, that was decent.
Decent?
Yeah, it's a decent conversation to have.
Okay.
What else we got here? They're talking about the billboards for Jungle Julia. It's also her birthday as well. It's like a little side note.
Julia's birthday.
No, it's Butterfly. No, it's Julia's birthday.
Yeah,
and she's told everyone to come out and try and crack on a Butterfly.
Yeah, but we do get the black car following them here, and I love the score change here. It just gets real ominous. We don't see inside yet. It's just this pitch black car just sitting there.
Yeah.
Revving away. It's good. It sort of sets up, you know, what's to come. And it does provide more tension later when she sees the car at the, what is it, pub?
The Texas Chili Parlor.
Yeah, the parlor.
So the next conversation they have here is basically about how they're going to get people to come up to talk to Butterfly, and they do this little role play.
Role play was bad.
Yeah, not the best.
Nah, it wasn't good. Yeah, Butterfly starts insulting Julia's ads, which I thought was unnecessarily mean.
Yeah, I can agree there.
But in fairness, like, Julia's just put Butterfly in this really uncomfortable position.
Yeah, but she gives her a way out. She's like, just say I've done it already tonight, thank you, and see you later. Which doesn't work later on when they try that. As they're leaving this place, Stuntman Mike is watching them. Obviously, he's got photos of them in there. And you got it's a very red background as well, which is they use for evil doings and bad stuff. He puts eye drops in his eye. Did I miss why he has to do that?
Nah, I don't think that's really ever explained, but maybe he's just tired from tormenting too many girls.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sweet scar, though.
It is a mental scar.
It is mental.
Mental.
Surprised that his face isn't worse, to be honest, considering
how many times you think he's done this?
To crash.
Yeah. But they're in this Texas Chili Parlor, and we got Jungle Julia talking to a friend on the phone or texting the old Nokia.
Yeah, the Nokia. Oh, I did like the pushing the buttons multiple times to get a particular letter.
Yeah.
I had that down pat back in the day. I could do it in my pocket.
Yep, me too. It's the best way to do it when you're driving. Bang, 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 bang.
Driving?
Yeah, not looking at the phone. I just knew what I was taught. Knew what I was saying when I touched the button.
Your mind was on the road, Hendo. Did you ever think about, you know, maybe what could have happened?
No.
It was more for me when I was in, like, school. It was in the pocket. But no, we'll go with your driving.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense with this Stuntman Mike driving movie.
Oh, good tie-in.
Mm.
I didn't like all this messaging, this guy.
It doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't. And
you can say it creates some sort of character development, like she's having relationship problems. I don't know. Like, I mean, think about it if you cut out all this discussion, all this stuff that happens and just gets to Stuntman Mike killing these people. I mean, in the end, you'll be like, eh, I don't know who these people are. Whatever. Will you like that after this? I mean, you'd watch them for about an hour or so, and their interactions with each other, their interactions with Mike, a little bit of backstory about them.
I mean, you're right. You need it.
Yeah.
So there's no two ways about it. It's better seeing their backstory than seeing more of Mike, because that would take away, you know, the mystery and intrigue.
I love that we don't know basically know nothing about him.
Yeah.
It's basically what he is telling them, and it could all be bullshit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But it does work in this scenario.
See the little Eli Roth cameo? What is this guy doing?
Yeah, not much, clearly.
Oh, well, he's good friends with Tarantino. He made the Thanksgiving trailer in the Grindhouse. Do you remember the trailers that they did?
No.
Okay, I remember the Thanksgiving one. That was an interesting one. And I remember they had the SS Nazi werewolf one or something, and Nick Cage was the quick cameo. It was like the Fu Manchu. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Jesus.
That's where the Machete trailer came from, the fake trailer for Machete that they made movies from. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Now, when I think fake trailers, I think of Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Those are some funny trailers. But I forgot Tarantino was actually in this film.
I legit, when he came, like, oh my God, he's actually in this film. Like, completely forgot as well.
Yeah. And when he first came on, he's just like, got the girl sitting on him and stuff. And I was like, okay, you can see why he's in this. But he's in a few scenes. Like, he's got a proper part in this film.
Bartender giving out shots and having a chat with the regulars.
Terrible actor.
Yeah, he's not good. I watched From Dusk Till Dawn recently, and I mean,
he's like the second man character in that, isn't he? Is it him and Clooney going into this bar?
Yeah, they're the brothers, and he's on the poster, but I would argue that he's the secondary character.
Yeah, I said he's the second main character.
He's
a secondary character.
I wouldn't say he's the second main character of the film. Yeah, but like you mentioned before, when Butterfly's out the front and the lights come on, and there's the car, and the ominous music plays
and the
again.
The rain, heavy, heavy rain is great. Good.
What's this whingy bloke wants to make out with her?
How is he successful?
I mean, I tried that every once in a while when I was younger.
Didn't work. Please.
Come on. I'll just really for like quick. 5 minutes. No. Damn it. How gross was the close-up of Stuntman Mike eating the nachos?
I mean, it was okay.
It was okay. Did you like it?
I mean,
did it make you want to eat nachos?
It wasn't gross, but I was.
I think it was definitely paid to look like it was gross.
I was just jealous. I was like, man, I wish I would get paid to just take the direction of, all right, you need to eat these nachos as messily as possible. I want sauce everywhere.
So, can we do a rehearsal of this one, please? Eli Roth and this other guy, Omar, acting like rapey knobheads and making fun of Mike Scar while he's right there. Surprised we didn't get a scene of Mike running him down or something later on before he took out the other car.
Yeah, what happened to them? They just drove off, didn't they?
I didn't even think we saw them drive off. They were just gone.
They were just gone, yeah. Well, the girls left to go on their
women's only thing, yeah.
Which is fine. But we do get Pam, Rose McGowan. Rose McGowan?
Rose McGowan.
Where's she going? She's Rose McGowan. I actually didn't mind this character at all, to be honest.
Ah, she's good.
I thought she was quite good. I thought the interactions here between her and Stuntman Mike were almost the best part of the movie for me.
It is one of the best interactions.
Yeah.
I mean, he has very little interactions, if none, with the other girls in the next one. But I think this interaction, this discussion between them two here, and I think the one with Butterfly later when they're at the front.
Yeah.
I think they're the best two in terms of conversation, dialogue. They're definitely standouts. But it's basically...
Did you like the Big Kahuna Burger mention?
I didn't even pick up on it straight away. I was thinking about something else, and then a second later, I'm like, did he say Big Kahuna Burger? I'll go back and check that.
Yeah, it's a billboard by Big Kahuna Burger.
The billboard is right there in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he does this... You remember when he did this really weird, big, huge build-up to sneeze?
And that's it.
Is that just to show he's weird again?
Maybe he actually almost had to sneeze. I've done that before. It's weird.
Yeah, but doesn't end up in film though. Thank God.
Maybe it's just Tarantino showing this is just what regular people do sometimes. They go to sneeze and they can't sneeze it out. I love his little conversation with Pam about, you know, I've been down in these club sodas, but I'm moving up to the big time soon. Virgin pina colada.
Yeah, yeah. He's got some funny lines. Like,
he's suave.
Who's your brother? Stuntman Bob.
But we really just get a whole mix and match of different things happening in the bar. Like, there's a couple other different random people having discussions. And what we essentially get to is the lap dance with Butterfly. Now, I tell you, I'm glad that the movie edited that cut to them leaving because it was going on for too long.
Oh, it's way too long.
Yeah.
Way, way, way too long.
And I was watching him like, this doesn't show any signs of finishing. Oh, snap cut. Yes.
I mean, she gives it her all.
She does well.
He does well to, you know.
Yeah. Think about cold showers. Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day.
But I think this, just before the lap dance where he's a very Tarantino line here where he's like, you know that saying, well, you're all right in my book. Well, I actually have a book. I was like, oh, God, this is so Tarantino.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I do love this bit, though. When he does finally get in the car with Pam and he stops, he's like, which way are you going?
Mm.
And he's like, there's a 50% chance.
Yeah, and right there, this is where the movie turns. Just before that, when he's talking to Pam about the car, about how there's stuntmen that do all this stuff and how these days it's all just CGI and you don't get the real practical stunts that used to happen.
Yeah, all right, Tarantino. We get it. You don't like CGI. Yeah.
Come on. You may as well just looked at the camera and winked.
Yeah, show us how you did the big crash scene coming up then, Tarantino.
That was real.
That was real. So you think the limbs were actually being cut off?
I thought you meant
the tire actually ran over her face. Like, oh, that's real?
It's practical.
It's real?
They filmed it. It was real. They didn't put it through a computer.
So there's no CGI in this film?
No.
Oh, I bet there is.
That would have been a dummy with the leg coming off. Do you think that it's basically the same violence as Kill Bill, and that was all legit?
I need to fact check this. All right, we're back, and I was right. Oh. All CGI head, though. I will take that apology any which way you want to
That is the dumbest use of audio I've ever heard in my life.
That's a big call. But when he's bashing her around, like trying to knock her out.
It's brutal.
It's really violent.
The sound effects are great.
Really, really good.
Especially when he slams on that brake and just the bone crunch of her smashing her head into the dashboard. Man, that was rough. She looked wrecked, obviously. And then off he heads to drive headfirst into these unknowing women. You get the repeat shot of each woman just getting destroyed.
Four different perspectives. Ooh, does that affect its linear status?
Hey,
I think it does.
Yeah, I mean, it's not straight chronological. It's going back, three or four seconds.
Yep.
Twice, three times.
Yep, not linear.
Trivia, nonsense. Don't take anything we say properly.
Properly, with a grain of salt, as they say.
Don't take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
Do take it with a grain of salt.
Do take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
I never understood that reference.
You were trying to sound smart.
It's like, I don't know what salt has to do with this, but people say it.
But they cut to the hospital.
This is fantastic. The way that he has planned this so that he looks like the innocent party.
Always. But they know what's going on. Like, this isn't the first time he's done it.
They do, but at the end of the day, he's completely sober. Every girl in the car is drunk and high.
Mm-hmm.
And his passenger, who's just bashed in, well, she's on the wrong side of this death-proof car. That's why she's so bashed in.
Yep.
Like, they can't prove it happened beforehand.
Yep.
It's really clever. Feel bad for his car, though.
I'm sure he's okay with it. He gets it fixed.
He does.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times he has actually done this, though.
We never hear that, do we?
No, we don't. Like the Joker.
The sheriff here and his son are obviously same characters from different Tarantino movies.
Scenes that should have been cut.
Kill Bill. From Dusk Till Dawn as well.
Yeah.
There is this theory going around that some of these films are actually in the same timeline because of these characters and a couple of the characters we see interacting through different movies. So I'm just throwing it out there. I didn't go do the full research on this one. But
like a Tarantino verse?
Yeah, I believe that Kill Bill, Death Proof are tied together. From Dusk Till Dawn
is Reservoir Dogs is tied to Pulp Fiction, obviously.
Yes, of course. I don't know if those two are tied to these ones as well. I think they might be two separate Tarantino universes. But they do mention here that this is some sort of, this also could be some sort of sexual nature, like the crash. It gives you sexual gratification.
Fish. Have you seen the movie Crash?
I have not. Please don't pick it for me.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't want to watch it. And this is the 90s Crash with James Spader.
Yeah, it's not good. Deborah Unger.
Isn't it an Arquette in it?
Do you know Deborah Unger?
No.
The Game.
Yeah, this name still doesn't ring a bell. I know The Game.
Well, she's the main female in The Game.
See, I think of Michael Douglas and Sean Penn.
Yeah, they're males, but think of the females.
Nah.
You sexist pig.
You had to go pig, didn't you?
I'm not just sexist.
I think they mentioned this sexual nature thingy because there was actually going to be a scene of Stuntman Mike whacking it after a crash of the car.
Gross.
Yeah, but they decided not to do that and just mentioned that it could be of some sort of sexual nature.
I mean, he clearly enjoys tickling the feet coming up.
Yes, licking the feet.
Does he lick the feet?
I think he licks his fingers and then touches it.
Yeah, or the other way around.
Or both. But I love how they talk about he's going to move on from this and it goes, Lebanon. Tennessee.
No, that was good. 14 months later, so we've got the excuse why his car is back to normal now.
Mm-hmm. And the movie just goes randomly black and white.
Yeah. Not sure it needed to.
It didn't. Maybe this is him over-tweaking it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
But this conversation in the car park, you see, these girls, I mean, we know a little bit more about them here. They work in the movie industry. You got,
Zoe Bell.
A superstar actress. In Mary Elizabeth Winstead, she's in all the catalogues.
Did you understand this Italian Vogue behind the counter references?
No,
I don't get it. They're treated like it's, I don't know, like illegal to sell.
Maybe it's super rare. I mean, maybe they couldn't get it online very, very good, very quickly, very efficiently.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If the guy's just going to sell it anyway, why not put it out? Like, you can put it out with a huge price tag.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe he thinks you'll get more bang for it by, you know, whispering it to people who are going to buy the original Vogue.
Hmm.
Maybe it might get stolen if it's out in the on the shelf.
What do they pay, $20 for it?
I don't know. But yeah, we get a quick little thing of Stuntman Mike being a gross cunt here.
Yeah, and we get a quick little Kill Bill ringtone theme.
Oh, we of get course.
It. It's directed by Tarantino.
Yes. Stop it, Tarantino.
Yes, we remember the movies when, you know, they were better.
So we need to talk about this conversation where they were in the diner with Zoe Bell now. Did you notice Kurt Russell in the background eating at any point? They never show it. They never physically show him there, but he is there. You see him, the black, no, shirted person.
I didn't notice.
Okay. I think it's more just if you're paying attention real close, he is following them the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
What do you think of Zoe Bell in this, being the Australian?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, she's Kiwi, isn't she?
How dare you call a Kiwi an Aussie? I really wish that that was an actual joke that you were trying, but you legit thought she was an Aussie.
Yeah, I did, because her accent is so
Kiwi.
Jarring.
Kiwi.
I mean, it didn't sound Kiwi.
Her jacket has New Zealand Stunt Guild on it.
fair point.
Zoe Bell, I think she's good. She's playing herself, stunt double from New Zealand, and she does a part. She does a better part coming up when she's on the car, but we'll get to that. Yeah. What do you think of him getting this car?
I mean,
from this guy.
These people, yeah, obviously he was in Kill Bill.
Yes.
Never forget that laugh, but these girls are terrible friends to Mary
Elizabeth Winstead. Yeah.
Like, they are setting her up to be raped.
Absolutely.
And they're fine with it.
Especially that shot where they drive off and she is just sitting there looking up at his pants.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's like, and she goes, gulp.
Gulp.
What?
Yeah, that comes later.
Oh, dear. But I think this is where the movie gets really awesome.
Oh, really?
This stunt that they do for the next 20-odd minutes is real. It's all practical.
I disagree. I'm pretty sure it is all CGI.
I don't think you know what CGI means.
Okay. Well, I differ on this. I think that whilst it's impressive from a stunt perspective, and it is, don't get me wrong, it is impressive watching Zoe Bell flailing around on this car, and you sort of watch it like, how is this even possible? Like, how are they allowed to do this? It looks so much like she's about to just fall off the front of this car.
And she probably is.
But I guess there was probably wires and stuff.
No.
Probably CGI'd out in post.
They're stuntmen. They're stunt women. They're professionals. They'd done this before.
I don't know. I'm not into the whole car scene, you know, the rev head stuff like you obviously are.
When did I say that?
Big rev head Hendo over here.
What?
But I got bored by it.
I don't even know what they mentioned the name of the car, like the make and model. I can't even remember what it was. I'm more impressed with how they managed to do this.
From the Vanishing Point.
Oh, you rev head.
Have you seen the Vanishing
Point? I don't even know what that is.
It's a movie.
For rev heads like yourself?
Yeah, it's this classic movie with the Dodge Challenger.
Main cast.
There's this point in it that just vanishes. It's fantastic. But moving
on. Wow, how did I not see that coming when you said point, you twat?
Shit.
No, so I really like this whole section with the stunt, the chasing him down.
I didn't like Mike in this bit, to be honest. When he gets out of the car and he's laughing like, ooh, that was fun. I was like, I don't buy him as being like that.
Because you've only seen him as
ominous. Yeah, and going from everything we've seen in this movie. I didn't get that he could be like that. Then when he gets shot, he just turns into the biggest
pussy. Yeah, that was like, hold on,
what's changed here?
Well, I think what's changed is they're fighting back. Maybe he's never had that happen.
He just turns into such a wimp against these women.
Well, I think it is because of that. These women are finally fighting back. This is girl power. Like, yeah, let's, you know, fuck this guy. Let's take him down. And they get the better of him, and he's never had this happen before, so he's shitting himself. He's sooking like a wimp. But, man, when he stops that car to pour the bourbon on his shot, and he looks up, and they're right behind, he spits that drink out and smashes his head. Holy shit, I got a headache from that.
Yeah.
And then another car chase, which is great again, because it's all practical. Gotta love your practical effects. Yeah, awesome stunts.
Sure.
You didn't like it?
It's just this third act went too long for me.
Okay.
It's just non-stop car chase. It's like, okay, it's cool, but I got bored with it, to be honest.
I didn't.
Yeah.
My bored part happened earlier with the diner conversation with the secondary girls.
Yeah.
But come on, the car flip when they come from the side and flip the car. That was cool.
I don't care.
All right.
I don't care about any of that.
Well, you're a hard man to please.
I mean, harder than you.
You're harder than me. Are you watching the same film? Nah, they beat the shit out of him. I think the ending is a little weird. I think that just has to go in tune with the grindhouse style movie. Just finishes. But isn't it weird? The music starts, they start the credits, and it cuts back, and they just stomp his head in with one swift kick. It's like, oh, okay, so he actually did die.
Yeah, he died.
He did die.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died, dude.
What is that?
That's from Survivor.
She died, dude.
Yeah.
Good one. All right, Hendo, final thoughts.
Final thoughts on Death Proof. Hey, this is, for me, the weakest Tarantino film.
What?
Yeah, I know. Shocker, hey, from our conversation. But I still like it. There are some points that drag, especially the conversation, well, most of the conversations with the second girls. But I didn't mind the conversations in the first half, especially when they're at the bar and the interactions with everyone else that's there as well, Pam included. I think the middle portion with when Stuntman Mike becomes the Death Proof with his car.
He becomes
the Death Proof.
The car is Death Proof.
Yeah.
And that's so what the name.
But he's
that's
the Death where the Proof. Name comes I'm giving from. Him an extra name. He's the Death Proof.
But Stuntman Mike isn't a good enough name for you?
Not when he becomes the Death Proof. I thought that was great. I think that the last section of this with the big car chase, the big stunt there was great as well. I thoroughly enjoyed that. It dragged a bit in the middle there, but I give it 3.5.
Okay.
Dean, is this a recommend for you?
So weird because...
It's Tarantino.
It's weird because it's Tarantino. It's also weird because I think this conversation has actually made me like it less.
What? How?
I don't know. I'm just thinking
because
about it.
Because you've complained about CGI.
Yeah, I've complained about a lot, and I'm like thinking, all right, no, hold on. What was I liking? So my final thoughts are I think it's a fine movie. I just think it really hurts that it's a Tarantino film. And when you think of that pedigree, it's just nowhere near his other films.
Okay, yes, it's not near 5 stars.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's my point.
Doesn't mean it can't
be
good.
His movies are so good that when you watch one that's not good, it really stands out, which this movie obviously does. It's easily his worst film. But I think I was kind of giving it 3 stars because I like Tarantino. But to be honest, I think it's 2.5. I wouldn't recommend this movie to anyone. It's really just a watch it because it's Tarantino. Some parts are good. Some of the conversations are good, but there's so much boring dialogue that does outweigh it. And so you like the car stuff. It really didn't do anything for me. But the character...
It's weird since you're a revhead.
The character of Stuntman Mike is great. As I said, I wasn't happy with his eventual downfall. It's not so much like I'm fine with the women coming together and girl power and killing this guy. That's fine. But I don't know that they needed to make Mike such a softy at the end to get that message across. I felt like that was a bit overkill. Yeah, it's not a terrible movie. Yeah, I'm going 2.5 stars.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, originally, we had The Hateful Eight planned for next week as part of our Tarantino film series.
But we have gotten so tired of Tarantino films after 2. Death Proof has killed us.
Come on, might have killed you. Oh, I didn't mind the film.
No. We have the big Toy Story 4 coming out shortly. So, what do you think we're going to do?
Well, I think we're going to do a Patreon episode on Toy Story 2.
That would make sense.
Yes, because... Little hint, hint, wink, wink to you guys. We are going to be doing a breakdown of Toy Story 3 after our breakdown of Sherlock Jr. So you're going to get Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3, and our review of Toy Story 4 in under a week.
Yep.
That's going to be good fun to everyone who loves Toy Story.
There's a lot of people out there.
I don't want to meet the people who don't.
Why not? Do you think they're horrible people, Hendo?
Can you imagine the people who don't like Toy Story?
I mean...
How dare these cute, lovable toys come to life... And ruin my surrealism. You got nothing.
I got nothing.
All right. Well, that's going to do it, patrons. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week for Toy Story 2.
Bye.